Could we turn now in the scriptures to Matthew chapter 4 and take our reading at verse 23. Matthew chapter 4 and reading the last three verses of the chapter. We'll take our text particularly in the words of verse 24, but we'll set it in context, reading from verse 23. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. And his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with divers diseases and torments, and those which were possessed with devils, and those which were lunatic, and those that had the palsy, and he healed them. And there followed him great multitudes of people, from Galilee, and from Decapolis, and from Jerusalem, and from Judea, and from beyond Jordan. And focusing particularly on verse 24, his fame went throughout all Syria. They brought unto him all sick people, and the sick people are described, and he healed them. So we're coming now to the height of the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's preaching here in Galilee, what we call the Galilean ministry. And this is the time of Jesus' ministry where he had the most popularity, where great crowds were flocking to hear him preach, where multitudes of people were desiring to be his followers and his disciples. We're told in this text that his fame went throughout all Syria, and that's referring to the Roman province of Syrophoenicia, the Gentile region to the north of the land of Israel. The meaning is his fame went far and wide. He was reaching not just amongst the Jewish regions, but even into the Gentile regions. His fame was going forth. People were flocking to hear this remarkable new preacher. And we'll see that there's an element of his ministry here that we haven't yet focused upon. We've discussed the preaching of the Lord Jesus Christ, his teaching ministry. But let's see also the vital part that healing played in the ministry of the Lord Jesus. He was gathering sick people to him, calling them to come, and he healed them. Why? Why was this such a vital, crucial element of the ministry of the Lord Jesus? What are we to learn about Jesus Christ from the fact that he came as a healer? And it's that we'll focus upon for a few minutes this morning. We're coming really to the final sermon in our series on the identity of the Lord Jesus Christ. We've worked our way through the first four chapters of Matthew's Gospel, discussing who the Lord Jesus is, the different aspects of his identity as they are revealed to us in Scripture. From here on in the Gospel, we move now into a new section, the Sermon on the Mount, and that would be a completely different series if we were to take that up. But for now, we're focusing on the identity of Jesus, and especially the identity of Jesus from his healing ministry. And to ask especially, what do these healings mean for us in our day? What do they teach us as we come to these passages of Holy Scripture? With that in mind, let's come then to consider, firstly, the ailments brought to Jesus. The ailments brought to Jesus. We're told, and his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought unto him all sick people. His reputation was going out as a healer, as someone who had miraculous powers to make people well, to deal with all manner of sicknesses and of diseases. The call was going forth, come with your ailments to Jesus. He can heal you. There are many today who claim to be healers. You only need to switch on your television, turn over to some of these religious channels. I'm not saying that everything on them is rubbish, but there is a great deal of nonsense there. And especially this is something that we'll come across again and again. These people who claim to have powers of healing, who claim to have these spiritual gifts. And sadly, all too often, they are quite evidently charlatans. People who are out there to deceive people, to get people's money off them, to present themselves as people of power and of significance, when in reality they are just imposters, pretenders. I'm not denying that people can never get better through, for example, the power of prayer, through the working of the Lord mysteriously. But the actual gift of healing, that's something that was confined entirely to New Testament times, and it is very wrong for people today to claim to have the power to heal sicknesses. But in these days, in the ministry of Jesus, there was this power of healing, and we must ask, why was it there? What was it teaching us? And especially, is there a call to you and to me to come with our spiritual diseases, our spiritual sickness, to the Lord Jesus, and find that he is a willing healer? Let's see who specifically was coming to Jesus. We're told that diseased people came. They brought unto him all sick people that were taken with divers diseases and torments. Ill people. People whose bodies were racked with sickness, with diseases of different kinds. They were infected. They were suffering. They were experiencing pain, discomfort, misery as these diseases progressed and advanced through their bodies. In a world without painkillers, without antibiotics, without trained doctors or nurses, what suffering indeed must disease have brought? And these were people suffering, enduring pain and misery. And in a sense, every one of us knows disease of this nature, because we experience in ourselves the disease of sin, and there is no painkiller, there is no antibiotic that can take that disease away. We have within ourselves that natural compulsion towards what is sinful and wrong and wicked. And each one of us, if we know ourselves, we know that we turn aside naturally after what is sinful, and that we do not naturally incline to follow the will of God. We have that same disease. And do we not recognize that that's a disease that brings misery? That that inclination towards sin is something that makes us suffer, that causes us unhappiness. As it develops, it just gets worse. It gets more ugly. It gets more vile and more destructive. We are the diseased ones, and that is a disease that causes misery and sadness. It's strange, isn't it? Sin seems to promise such joy, such happiness. We get the temptation and we think, oh, how happy I will be in such a circumstance or such a situation. And instead, it brings with it misery. It promises joy and it brings sadness and unhappiness. It's a disease. And the end of disease is death. And the end of the disease of sin is everlasting death. The diseased. Then there were the possessed that were brought. Those which were possessed with devils. And this seems to have been something particularly common in the day of the Lord Jesus. An upsurge of evil activity in that part of the world. Devils coming in, possessing men and women, driving them mad, tormenting them, and rendering them utterly miserable. They were being ruled by the spirits of evil and were being led on that path of evil that leads down to hell. So it is today with the power of sin. Demonic possession seems to be a thing of the past. We don't see it evidenced around us in our culture, in our society, at least not in a major way. But what is very evident all around us is the power of sin. The power of sin. And we don't need devils within us, because ourselves, our own minds, are wicked enough that we turn aside after the sins, that we choose sin rather than choosing to do what is good. And if you're honest with yourself, then you recognize, I am governed by my sins by nature. By nature, I am like the demon-possessed man or woman, led astray by that sin, guided by that sin, and being led on the path that leads to destruction. The possessed. Then there were the deranged, those which were lunatic, an old word meaning mental illness. And of course, mental illness is a very, very sad thing. When it comes into a person's life, it distorts their view of reality. Someone who is schizophrenic, for example, they are hearing perhaps voices, perhaps seeing things, and they're unable to distinguish between what is in their mind and what is actually present in reality. It's a very dark and dangerous mental illness if it's not treated properly. And sadly, people in these days were, just as they are nowadays, deranged by mental illness, and that led to foolish behaviour because they were reacting to things that were not there. It led to confusion, and of course ultimately it led to utter despair, because mental illness is a very sad, a very grievous thing, and it destroys relationships, destroys personalities, and ultimately it leads to the severing of all human relationships. And so it is again with the folly of sin. It leads into confusion. It leads into sadness and despair. Sin doesn't bring us happiness and contentment and stability. It brings only misery and grief and loneliness. And the sadness is when we are guided by sin, when we are led by sin, then we're like the lunatic. We are being led into confusion until we're ultimately unable to distinguish between what is right and what is wrong, between the path of godliness and the path of sinfulness. And if we continue to be governed by sin, then we're heading on the path to destruction, unable to choose or even to identify what is right from what is wrong. And then again, those that had the palsy, those who were paralyzed, in other words. The palsy was a disease that took away the power of the limbs, the power to move the body, that left a person twisted, unable to move, entirely dependent upon others for their care, trapped, forced to be carried about, humiliated by the progress of a religion, an illness that took away their own power. And so it is with ourselves. We are paralyzed by the power of sin. We're maybe able to recognize it. We're maybe able to see, yes, that is wrong. We're maybe able to see, yes, this is leading me down to destruction. And yet, who amongst us can choose of our own power what is right from what is wrong? Who amongst us can turn our life about from a path of sin to a path of godliness? Sin leads to destruction. And if we are honest, by nature, every single one of us starts out on the path of sinfulness. Do you recognize yourself in some of what we've been speaking of? Do you see your own needs by nature? Do you see the way maybe you once were, as one who was born in sin and who continued in sin for a time? Maybe it's the way that you still are. Maybe you're still a child of sin. Maybe you're still one who's living under the power of darkness. This seems hard teaching, and yet I want you to see that this is not a message of hopelessness. Remember the words of the Lord Jesus. We read them from the Gospel of Mark. They that are whole have no need of a physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. If we recognize the sickness of sin within our own lives, within our own souls, then we recognize we need the Lord Jesus. We need his healing. And that brings us on then to our second point. We've considered the ailments that brought people to Jesus, but let's see secondly the power of Jesus to heal. His fame went forth throughout all Syria, and they brought unto him all sick people, as we have described, and he healed them. Think of these words, and he healed them. What power that speaks of. We see these faith healers, and they seem to rely mostly on the power of positive thinking, the effect of placebos on people, changing people's mind so that they imagine they are healed and maybe they get a brief upsurge of strength. But of course, it does not last. It is not permanent. But the Lord Jesus, he healed them. He actually healed them. It shows us, doesn't it, the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ, who he actually was. One who had power over diseases and who was proving it by the miracles that he was doing. Remember the words we read again from the Gospel of Mark chapter 2. But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sin, he saith to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise and take up thy bed and go thy way into thine house. It's crucial, isn't it? The Lord Jesus is saying, I can say to someone, your sins are forgiven you, but you won't know. You won't know for sure if that's true or if that's not. So I will prove it to you by proving that I have the authority over diseases. I have the power to raise this palsied man so that he can walk out of here carrying his own bed. And by thus proving my power over disease, I prove my power over sin. So it is, the Lord Jesus shows his authority. He reveals himself as the Son of God. Who but the Son of God could, of his own power, raise men from that bed of paralysis and of misery to be able to walk away carrying their own bed? Who but the Son of God could do such a thing? Maybe you're inclined to say, but hold on, we're told of other people doing healings. For example, think of Peter and John going into the temple, and they saw a lame man, and they healed the lame man. But of course, there's a crucial difference. Remember what Peter actually said to the lame man. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. That's the difference, isn't it? Peter was not saying, I can heal you. He was saying, in the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, by his power given to me, I can heal you. And so it is the power of the Lord Jesus that is at work in healing. It is the Lord Jesus who is the great healer. I am the Lord thy God that healeth thee. And here, the Lord Jesus is showing himself not just as man, but as the very Son of God. It shows us his authority. It shows us his power. See the power at work in these healings. The power demonstrated by that direct action. That transformation from illness, from weakness, from disease, to health, to strength, to power. That is the work of God. That is God at work. The Lord Jesus is here using the power of God, the power that is at his disposal as the Son of God, to raise men from beds of sickness to health and strength. The power to forgive sin. That's what he's claiming as well, isn't it? Thy sins be forgiven thee. He's claiming to be able to sort out not just the physical sickness, but also the spiritual sickness. He claims power over the spiritual disease of sin, just as much as over the palsy or the earthly disease. He claims the power to forgive sin. And we, of course, we know that he has that power. The Lord Jesus died on the cross, died for the sins of all his people, died to wipe them out. And so he has that power to forgive sin. It's in his blood, as we say. He has shed his blood, and therefore that is sufficient. There is the power there to cleanse from sin. It's like the writer to the Hebrews puts it. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, he suffered without the gate. He suffered, he died, so that he could take our sins away. Think of that. Think of that power that Jesus had, proved, demonstrated by physical healing, but oh, so much greater in the spiritual healing that saves a man from the debt of sin, that purges away all that guilt and turns a man from being on the path towards hell and towards everlasting destruction to the path towards heaven, to the path towards everlasting life. Have you experienced that? Do you know it yourself? That change from death unto life. That's God's power at work. Have you known it for yourself? Or are you still waiting? Are you still looking for the Lord? If you're still looking, if you're still waiting, then see here comfort for you in the Lord Jesus as a healer, because he also reveals himself here to us as a man of compassion. Yes, he has authority. Yes, he has power. But let's see also compassion. Here were people suffering. The Lord Jesus could help, and therefore he did help. He showed the compassion, the love towards others, which always marks the Lord Jesus Christ. Think, children, of the leper who came to Jesus, the man with leprosy. That's a horrible disease, a very disfiguring, a very ugly disease. And because it was contagious, it was a disease that kept people away from all their friends. They had to separate themselves and live on their own. And the leper came to Jesus saying, "If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean." You see what's said in these words? You've got the power, but are you willing? Are you going to have compassion on an ugly, vile leper like me? What did the Lord Jesus say? "I will, be thou clean." That's the compassion of the Lord Jesus. If we wonder, will Jesus accept us? Will he grant us salvation? Will he be willing to save even me? Then see the compassion of Jesus to the leper. See his willingness. See the love evidenced there. And will you not come to such a loving, such a willing Saviour and find his willingness to save yourself? He is the one who, we're told, was moved with compassion as he looked on the crowd, because they were a sheep having no shepherd. If you are a sheep without a shepherd today, come to the Lord Jesus and find him willing to be your shepherd. He is, as the writer to the Hebrews describes him, a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. He is merciful. He is faithful. Let us come and let us find that character, that he is the Lord that healeth thee. And therefore, let us come to him and trust in him as Lord and as Saviour. We've spoken then of the ailments that were brought to Jesus and the power of Jesus to heal them. But let's think thirdly of the completeness of Jesus' healing. The completeness of Jesus' healing. It's very simple the way it's described. And he healed them. All this list of diseases and infirmities, and he healed them. The different problems that they had, all resolved. Think of that. The sick were cured. They came with all these diseases, varied diseases, maybe leprosy, maybe viruses, maybe vile diseases consuming them from within. These were resolved. The viruses were destroyed. The symptoms vanished away. The vile destructiveness of these diseases, they were gone. We're told of the woman with the issue of blood, that the blood dried up. The blood stopped. The Lord Jesus healed her. Think, for example, of Peter's wife's mother. We're told that Jesus came to Peter's house, and there was his mother-in-law lying on the bed, sick of a fever, ill, maybe dying. We don't know how severe it was, but certainly ill. No doubt longing. Haven't you been to an old person's house and the old person saying, "Oh, I would love to give you a cup of tea. I would love to give you something, but I can't get out of this chair." And it's sad, isn't it? People of hospitality, of warmth, and yet not able to put that into action. We're told that at that moment, Jesus healed her. And she arose and ministered to them. It wasn't a case that, like a faith healer, she got slightly better and the next day she was even worse. Rather, she was healed instantly and completely, restored and back to normal, back to health and strength, and able to serve and to minister to her guests. And so it is in salvation. The misery of guilt and sin, that's gone. It's wiped out. We now have an answer in Jesus Christ as his children to every accusation that the devil brings. Does he say, you're a sinner, you're vile? We can say, yes, I am, but I have Christ. Does he say, you've done such wrong, you deserve hell? You can say, yes, I do, but Christ has wiped my debt. He's died. He's paid the price. And don't you see the comfort of having that answer? It's the sickness cleansed. It's the disease leading down to hell. It's gone. It's finished. It's resolved. We're maybe still battling the last lingering symptoms, but we're now on the road to wellness, to eternal health, no longer on the road that leads to destruction. Do you know this comfort? The comfort of the Lord Jesus as the healer of your sickness. He healed the sick. The demon-possessed were liberated. Those who'd been possessed of devils, they're now free. Imagine that, one tormented by a devil within them, leading them astray, leading them into vile, wicked behaviour. Like Legion, a madman out there, naked amongst the tombs, a vile, ugly, lost soul in hopelessness and despair. No man could bind him. And the Lord Jesus commanded the demons be gone, and his friends saw him sitting there, clothed and in his right mind. This is the power of God to sweep away the power of sin. And the Lord Jesus can break that power of sin in your life, can break that hold that sin has over you. You may say, but I've been a Christian for many years and I still feel an inclination towards sin. That's true. But the difference is it no longer has that power to compel you into sin. You have the ability to resist it, and we are told that we will not be tempted above that we are able. We are able to resist the devil. We are able to turn aside from sin if we will, but look to the Lord in the midst of temptation. The power of sin has been broken. It's not gone completely. It's still there. There will still be setbacks. There will still be times of backsliding. But the power has been broken. And that power that was going to carry us deeper and deeper and deeper into sin, and at last, into utter destruction, that power has now been broken. And so we must well ask whether we have ourselves experienced the freedom from sin experienced by the man and woman of God. The demon-possessed were liberated. The mad were given sanity. They that were lunatic were brought to Jesus, and he healed their madness. That mental illness that tormented them, it was gone. The mind was clarified. The confusion was cleared. We're told, for example, of a lunatic child brought to Jesus by his father. And we're told that from that hour, the madness left him. The Lord Jesus, able to turn confusion into clarity at that very moment. And so it is in salvation. The Lord Jesus clears our minds. He shows us with clarity the Lord God as the great judge and the great lawgiver, the Lord Jesus Christ as Saviour, the Bible as the very word of God, the Christian walk as the way that leadeth unto life. Oh, if we have this clarity, then we can look to the Lord and find him leading us unto eternity. And lastly, of course, the paralyzed were empowered. Those that were twisted and crippled and powerless, they found strength in their limbs, able to walk, able to move. You remember, for example, the man who was lowered through the roof. His friends actually took off the roof tiles and lowered him down through the ceiling, so that Jesus would be able to heal him in the midst of that crowded house. And we're told that Jesus said to him, take up thy bed, arise, take up thy bed and walk. The man so helpless, he had to be lowered down, now able to take up the mattress and walk out of the house, a man empowered. And so it is in salvation. Before, you were incapable of doing what is good, incapable of serving the Lord. But now the Lord has given you strength. He's given you the ability to refuse the devil. He's given you the ability to choose what is right. And therefore you are now enabled and strengthened to serve the Lord and to work for him in this world. And you might well ask yourself, am I truly serving the Lord in this life? Or am I still just serving myself and serving the way of sin? We don't say that it's perfect. We don't say that we're always serving the Lord. We make many mistakes. We're often very selfish. But is it not true that when we are the Lord's people, we're enabled to work for him in this life? And we are blessed in that. And we find a joy in doing what is right and in standing on the Lord's side. The Lord is a faithful master. And he is the one who gives to us, poor, paralyzed sinners, strength in our limbs to serve him in the midst of this wicked world. So much then on the healings of Jesus. Let's come then to the conclusion, the identity of Jesus from his healing ministry. As we look at these healings, what do they tell us about the Lord Jesus Christ? Do we not see him here as the Son of God with all authority, all power over sickness and over disease? And he's the same Son of God today. He is the Lord Jesus, the only Saviour of the world. Will you and I not come and submit to him and trust in him as Lord and as Saviour and find the comfort that he brings? Let's see him as the Saviour from all sin, and let us rest our hopes on him alone for spiritual healing and for everlasting life. But then again, let us remember also that he is the great judge as well. He is the one who must condemn sin. And at the last, he will be found as the one challenging sin, addressing it, and punishing it solemnly from his presence. He is the great judge. And will you and I not bow and submit to this judge? Flee to him even, while there is opportunity, before at last we come to meet him on that day when we will have no other answer, no other alternative to the solemn sentence that goes forth, the condemnation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Who amongst us would want to be there on that day and hear these fearful words, "Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting torment, into outer darkness, into the place of sin"? Oh, that's not where we wish to be. Let us therefore flee to Christ, who is a willing healer. Let us flock to him and find that he is able and willing to heal all our diseases, to redeem us from all sin, and to set us on the path that leads to everlasting life. Oh, may we love him, and may we trust in him as Lord, as Master, and as Saviour. Amen. And the Lord bless to us his word. Let's come before him in prayer. O holy and almighty God, we praise and we bless thy name as our Lord and as our Master. We honour thee as the great healer from all disease, and we give thanks for the work of the Lord Jesus in healing. We praise thee that he is now the great spiritual healer, and we look unto thee to heal and to cleanse from all disease. Lord, love us freely, surround us with thy grace, and keep us in Jesus' precious name and for his sake. Amen.